Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But I want you to listen to former Ambassador Michael Oren as he basically discusses in an interview the importance of why Israel has to do what they have to do with Hamas and the Gaza Strip. Because now what you're seeing, because of the civilian deaths that have been climbing, now you're seeing an outcry from, you know, people in different nations, people that don't like Israel, saying, hey, cut it out, knock it off, you know, peace, 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 which is really insulting. I mean, it really, really is insulting, because none of these nations that are saying, hey, make peace, cease, you know, have a ceasefire, would actually accept for their enemy to build tunnels underneath their house and pop up in their backyard at any time. And they're forcing the hand of Israel to be able to try to, you know, have this peace deal and play nice. And they're saying, you can't play nice with your enemy. You can't play nice with the people that want to just destroy you and cut your head off, if you will.
Yeah, and the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu asked that important question and repeatedly saying, what would you do?
Yeah.
And we'll make a related link. We had recently on The Torch that the IDF posted something that was so significant and gave that comparison. It's just like in where you can place where you are, and it shows how those same rockets that are in Gaza, how that would affect your area, where you live around the world. And it's just like when you look at how Israel is responding, you got to ask that question. What would you do?
Yeah, it's like 40. I believe that the number is 40% of your population. I mean, for America, that would be, you know, what, a couple hundred million, 100, 150 million people being exposed to rockets every single day.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do what you have to do when you have to confront an enemy. And that's what leadership is all about. I mean, thank goodness for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. His colors don't run, you know what I mean?
Right.
He stands and he's gonna do the things that are important that have to be done for the safety and security of Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to watch Michael Oren and listen to what he has to say. Watch this.
Well, Ambassador, great to see you again. I think the last time, one of the times, was back in 2008 during Operation Cast Lead when you had a uniform on.
Yeah, I know. This is a different uniform.
Yeah.
It's always good to be with you, Craig.
Exactly. Yeah. You had an article recently about demilitarization of Gaza. Mm-hmm. Is that a rationale? What's the rationale behind that?
I think it's very important that Israel strive for it. Put it this way. It's not going to be easy to achieve, but that doesn't mean Israel can't establish it as not the principal goal, one of its principal goals in this operation. There are many precedents for it, and the most recent being the removal of chemical weapons from Syria's arsenal. In both cases, the Syrians used those chemical weapons against civilians. Hamas has used its rockets against civilians, so the precedent is for taking them out. Hamas does not have so much as a military tactic as it has a media strategy, and it works very well for Hamas in the past. Well, how does it work? Hamas or another terrorist organization like Hezbollah will fire rockets at Israel. It gets Israel to strike back, to move its forces on the ground. The terrorists are dug in deep behind the civilian population. They're using the civilian population as human shields. And so Israel, no matter how cautious it is, it invariably ends up causing civilian casualties. That creates very painful pictures on television screens that immediately incites the streets, particularly in Europe and South America. That immediately translates into diplomatic pressure in the Security Council and human rights groups. And Israel is threatened with sanctions. Israel is forced to accept a ceasefire. And then the terrorists use the ceasefire to bring in bigger rockets, more long-range rockets, and then they open up the next round. And Israel is increasingly delegitimized, denied the right to defend itself, and even denied the right to exist as a Jewish state.
It's almost as if we've seen this movie before, an Operation Cast Lead, Operation Pillar of Defense, and now Operation Protected.
Unquestionably. It's the same strategy.
Uh-huh.
And I've called in another op-ed that I wrote, I've called to basically give Israel a chance to break the cycle of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an opportunity not only for Israel, but it's an opportunity for the United States. It's an opportunity for all freedom-loving people around the world. Because if Israel defeats Hamas and really gives it a stinging defeat, then that is a message that will be internalized by other terrorist organizations. It'll be internalized by Tehran, by Iran and their nuclear program. And that is, we are not going to cooperate with this military tactics, media strategy that denies Israel the right to enlist and empowers terrorism worldwide. if we don't defeat Hamas this time, then more civilians are going to die because the next round's going to be bloodier because Hamas will have more powerful weapons. They'll have more tunnels, more rockets.
So does Europe and the U.S., do they need to know that this is their fight as well?
They have to be reminded that Hamas, in terms of its ideology and its theology, is no different than Al-Qaeda. It's no different than ISIS or the Nusra Front. These are all radical Islamic groups that seek to create a unified caliphate to rid the Middle East of Christians and of Jews.
Is the international media complicit in Hamas's strategy?
Well, international media, you know, there may be some journalists who have empathy for the Palestinians, maybe an antipathy for Israel, but the vast majority of journalists are just doing their job and they want to bring home headlines. And having lurid pictures, heart-rending pictures, makes good headlines, makes good news. You can ask the question, why is it that the death of a certain amount of Palestinians on any given day gets far greater news coverage than the deaths of far more Iraqis at the hands of Iraqis or Syrians at the hands of Syrians do? Again, it's the way that it's the dynamics of the news media. So most of these journalists are doing their job. Hamas has no compunction about showing dead people, wounded people, and if they actually don't have bodies or wounded people, they will fabricate them. I've been dealing with issues in the last 2 weeks where Hamas has taken pictures of dead Syrians and posted them on their website and saying these are dead Palestinians. Or dead Iraqis and post them as dead Palestinians.
Is there another way that the message can be skewed? Because when journalists go into Gaza, they're not necessarily free to go wherever they want to go, and they're not necessarily free to report what they can report unless they're going to get threatened by Hamas.
I don't know that that's a fact, but one thing is for certain. We can say this is we have hard evidence. You look it through the hundreds of hours of news footage, and you have no problem seeing pictures of Israeli soldiers fighting. We broadcast them, but the Western press has not had access to the fighting arm of Hamas. So the impression creating is you have an Israeli army fighting, and you have Palestinians on the other side, and that's already playing into Hamas's media strategy. That's right there. You know, people have become benumbed in the world to the sight of Arabs killing Arabs. A bomb goes off in Baghdad, kills 60, 70 people. It makes the back page of the newspaper. It doesn't make the front page news. But if Israel were to kill 70 people, that would be the headline for 24 hours. Be very different. Now, you can say that that's unfair to Israel. You can say it's racist against Arabs in a way. Mm-hmm. It's holding Arabs to a different standard, not just Israel to a different standard. But it's reality. Mm-hmm. And it's a reality with which Israel has to cope, has to grapple. And it's very much part of what goes on the battlefield. Because Israel has this wonderful army. I mean, we have a citizen's army. Where on earth do you have a democratic nation where right now 70,000 people, men and women, have left their jobs, left their homes, left their families to pick up arms to go out to fight for their country? And they're not going out there to kill Palestinians. They're going out there to try to avoid inflicting Palestinian casualties. They're going to do their utmost, even to the point of endangering themselves, in order to minimize those Palestinian casualties.
And so how do you feel being here? You were U.S. Israeli ambassador to the U.S. for 5 years. Yeah. You're back here and in the midst of another war. Tell me your feelings right now.
This country always shocks me, and shocks me in a favorable way. I'm just all the time amazed and shocked just how incredibly strong this place is. Nothing stops it. We are just the strongest society, I think, on the planet. And they fire, 2,600 rockets at us over the course of less than 3 weeks. And do you see life stopping here? Do you see the restaurants emptying out? Do you see people not persevering, going on with their days? We are, we are on the front lines here, and they're just never going to beat us, ever.
Ambassador Oren, thanks for joining us. Appreciate
Pleasure, Chris.
It very much.
Always. Good to see you.
Wow, insightful words from former Ambassador Michael Oren. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about what's happening in Gaza and in Israel, and you're going to hear from Gazans themselves and what some of them feel Hamas is doing. Some of them are bold enough to speak out, but you're understanding that, hey, listen, this is an important conflict. We want to continue and pray and support Israel, but we also want to see the salvation not only come to the Jews, but we want them to come to the Palestinian people. Maybe out of this great trial and troubles that they're going through, they're going to cry out to Yeshua. And you were just listening to Michael Oren, former ambassador, Israeli ambassador to the United States, and really some insightful words. I mean, he said that Israel should be left alone, basically, to do what they have to do to deal with Hamas. And mm-hmm. what we're seeing is, shock and awe. mm-hmm. You know, Israel is going in there, taking out these tunnels, at least 30 tunnels already, at the tune of $3 million a tunnel. That's $90 million that Hamas basically has stolen in aid that was supposed to be given to the Palestinian people. Hundreds of millions of dollars are given to the people, the Palestinian people in Gaza, for building kindergartens and schools and hospitals. And what happened is Hamas mm-hmm. has been stealing that and investing the cement that's supposed to be used for an educational facility,
right,
used to build tunnels that are a mile long, 59 feet down under the earth. And so, you know, these tunnels cost $3 million, and Israel has already identified at least 30 of them and destroyed them. But what this shock and awe does, it not only deals with Hamas, but it also deals with Hezbollah, Iran, and everyone else that's thinking of attacking Israel. Mm-hmm. It gives Israel the opportunity to flex a little bit and say, don't come get none of this. You know what I'm saying? Stay over there. Stay over there and let us live in peace. And it's almost like, you know, I have a criminal justice background. That's what my degree is. And I've had the opportunity when I was in college to visit different prisons and talk to different correction officers and different things. And they will tell you that a person, an inmate, when they go into jail for the first time, the prison the first time, is that, you know, they're fresh meat. The people that are there are trying to intimidate them, take advantage of them in any kind of way. And that immediately, the first time that you're tried or pushed or nudged in any kind of way, that you need to do everything you can to decisively deal with that individual or individuals, because you're not, if you allow them to take advantage of you just the first time, you're setting a precedent. You're allowing all those other inmates, all those other prisoners to say, okay, this is the weakest alpha, this is the weakest dog, here's not an alpha, here's the weakest one here, and you're going to be taken advantage of. And so even they told me, even to the point of you not making it, you need to defend yourself in such a way like it's your last time, because it will be your last time if you don't. Mm-hmm. And you could draw some comparisons here, you know, where Israel has to deal with this stuff. They are the only Jewish state surrounded by, you know, Muslim states all around them. I mean, the Arab League alone is 21, 22 countries, and they're completely surrounding Israel. And Israel must act. It must defend itself. And as believers and as Christians, we need to stand with them. We need to encourage them. We need to pray. We need to continue to use social media and continue to share things like we're sharing now on VFN TV with your friends, with your families, mm-hmm. and educate people and bring them, you know, this issue into their forefront. Mm-hmm. Because with a lot of folks, out of sight,
out of mind,
mm-hmm. they're just not thinking about it. And in the West, we can become, in the United States, we could become so comfortable in our own life because we don't have war on our borders
mm-hmm.
yet
mm-hmm.
that we're not even thinking about them.
Well, the huge perspective too, that, you know, some of the things that the former ambassador said was a lot of people can relate to, you know, high school. And sometimes like the little nitpicking, the gossip, and so many people will say something that's not always true. And it's just like, they'll start to just like continue saying these things over friends, over a specific person, to get all these people to believe this thing about this one person that's not true. And something that was so significant to what the former ambassador said, he said, Hamas doesn't necessarily have a military strategy as it does a media strategy. Mm. And that's so significant too, because for the majority of Americans, they're not in Israel. Right. They're not personally seeing Israel. And a huge perspective of why, to me, that is so significant was from the time that I spent two deployments in Iraq with the Marines out of Fallujah. When I came back from those deployments and I saw the war that America was seeing through media, that totally broke my heart, because it's not the full story.
Wow.
And that's the truth that we have to get when we're visualizing these realities through the eyes and through the lens of media. And just like he said, he's like, they're taking, you know, whether it's Syrians or whoever, and they're saying, hey, these are Palestinian deaths. Right. You're seeing consistently Israel fighting. You're seeing consistently the Palestinians receiving these. And it's just like, okay, is that the whole story? And that's the thing. And it's just like, if you're hearing this, like you're saying, it's just like, get on social media, be that truth media. Yeah. If you're hearing the perspective of what God's saying, if you're hearing that perspective of Israel's perspective, share it with others so that
and
you're
combating
that. And
that's our aim here. That's our aim here with VFN TV, by the grace of God, is to give you that biblical perspective, to share with you what's really happening so that you can have a source, so that you can have a source to say, listen, this is the this is what's happening, not a different warped perspective. Mm-hmm. And it makes all the difference. And it's really insightful what you just shared, because you're right. Unless you've been there, you have to just trust whatever you kind of see, whatever's put
you're
out there.
You're at the mercy of what you're being shared.
Exactly. And perception is that person's reality. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I love that. They didn't have a war strategy, but a media strategy. And it really is designed to manipulate, you know, the viewers, and it's to help others to get roused up so that they can get into the fight. Mm-hmm. And really interesting. We want you to see firsthand, because in the crosshairs of all of this is not just the Israeli folks that are being rocketed on a consistent basis, but it's the actual Palestinians. You know, we shared in a previous program how all of this happened. You know, Israel backed out of the Gaza Strip. They took their settlements, took their houses down, took all the people out of there, and basically broke a piece of their bread off their land and gave it to the Palestinians to say, okay, guys, you can live here. We're going to give what's ours. I'm going to give it to you. You can live there. And ever since they've done that, because the whole idea is that they should exchange land for peace. The whole idea that everyone's trying to negotiate is if you give Palestinians land, there's going to be peace and there's going to be no conflict. Well, if that was true, then we would see that it did not work when Israel gave a piece of their land to the Palestinians, because look what's happening in Gaza. And what happened there was an election took place where Hamas received more votes than Fatah. Mm-hmm. And so Hamas is basically known as the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, but they're the ones in political power because they were voted in. And now, ever since they're in leadership, I mean, you have a continual barrage of attacks on Israel, and it just has to be dealt with. So who kind of lie in the middle of all this are Palestinian children, women, families that are being used as pawns, if you will. They have rocket launchers being put in their kitchen, in their schoolyards, in their hospitals. And then on top of that, Hamas is pulling, hey, you, come here, stand in front of our missile. You know, they're using their people to protect their rockets. And so you're going to hear some from Gazans themselves, and they're actually shouting out, saying, may Allah curse Hamas. Now, this is a really, you know, it's a dangerous thing for them to do. But we want you to see this firsthand and what's really unfolding and some things that are happening in Gaza right now. Watch this.
Media, Palestinians living in Gaza criticizing Hamas and calling for better relations with Israel. Well, our senior international reporter, George Thomas, found a few of them and brings us their exclusive stories from the war zone inside Gaza.
Days after Israel struck Gaza's only power plant supplying electricity, Nidal Mihai's bread business has been firing on all cylinders because he uses a wood-fired oven.
We're in a crisis. People don't have electricity. They can't make bread at home, so they come here.
So who do people in Gaza blame for the war? Hamas or Israel? Well, even asking that question can potentially get you in trouble.
Business is certainly hopping at this. Shukran, Habibi, thank you. Business is certainly hopping at this traditional bread store here in Gaza City. That's hot. You know, one of the things about, that was really hot. One of the things about talking to Gazans, especially in the midst of this conflict, is you can never get an honest answer, because the reality is that many of the folks here are afraid. They're afraid to criticize the Hamas government.
We asked Milhai if Hamas has been good for Gaza. He smiled, then blamed Israel.
They're responsible. They must stop this war, stop using bombs and missiles against civilian people.
But others, like Faiza Ahmad Zahanin, whose family has reported ties to Hamas, told CBN News she wasn't afraid to criticize the group Israel and the U.S. have labeled a terrorist organization.
The government in Gaza doesn't do anything, even on the radio. They don't talk about how we are suffering. May Allah curse them.
A poll taken days before the conflict started found that 70% of Gazans supported better relations with the Jewish state. Ragda Hejazi is one of them.
We need peace with the Jewish people. Good relations, not war.
A mother of five, Hejazi says Hamas has to change itself and bring stability to the region.
Hamas needs to find a way to solve these differences with Israel, America, and Arab countries.
Some, like Salim Hejazi, want to see brighter economic days on the Gaza Strip.
My message to the Israelis and Palestinians is this: find a way to solve the issues so that we can live an honorable life, a good life.
Weeks into that bloody war, Hejazi has had enough.
We need to be united and have peace.
George Thomas, CBN News, the Gaza Strip.
We're going to continue to share about this when we get back from the break, but you're hearing firsthand from Gazans. I mean, you're not seeing this on some major news network. You're hearing from Gazans saying, Hamas is not doing good here. Please do everything you can. Get us some peace. And my goodness, we just heard from George Thomas with CBN discussing and reporting from Gaza. And hearing from Gazans themselves,
powerful.
Listen, 70% of Gazans support better relations between the Jewish state. 70%. So you could see that probably the issue is not the Gazans; it's actually Hamas who's ruling the Gazan people and who are in power. And so, you know, you got a nation right now that has no electricity. It's been, you know, several weeks now. We're going into a month, you know, and look what's happening. And they don't, they continually break the ceasefire agreements. Israel has honored all of them. They've had about six of them at least by now. But who knows? You almost lose track of them because there's so many that are, that are, they call them for humanitarian reasons, for aid to get in there. And every single time that they call a ceasefire, you know, Hamas just breaks them and continues to do whatever they want to do. They're just a rebellious cell that's out of control. And that's the need for Israel to be there. But it's really refreshing to hear the Gazan people say, listen, one lady particularly says, I'm not afraid. The Gazan people, they don't, Hamas, they don't tell us anything. They don't talk to us over the radio. They don't share anything with us. They don't care about us. And that's the difference. The difference is
difference.
That, Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, says that, you know, we use our missiles to defend our people, but Hamas uses their people to defend their missiles. This should not be. This should not be, and the world should no longer be duped by that. So we want to encourage you, get involved, support organizations like CUFI, Christians United for Israel, that are there, that are supporting policies and you know, good causes for Israel. You want to support them. You continue to support organizations like, you know, and news media like VFN TV that does their very best to bring you a perspective that's not, you know, twisted in any kind of way. By God's grace, though, we try to bring a biblical perspective to what you're seeing and what you're hearing so that you can be informed as a believer and as a Christian, how to pray, how to get involved. Our prayers make a difference. We live in the most powerful country in the world, and believe me, your voice matters. And together we can do this together. Prayer, humbly crying out to God. Don't forget that we are in the middle of the four blood moons. And often it starts with tears and it ends with joy. We want to step up, if you will, ratchet up our prayers and be there in a time like this because, you know, you ever see those people that show up when the game is over and it's like, I'm with you. I'm like, we don't need you in the fourth quarter in the locker room. We needed you in halftime when we were losing, you know, 25-0. Don't get excited at the last few seconds of the game. We need you to step in and step up when it matters, and believe me, it matters now. So continue to pray and support Israel.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.